We will carry the Westwood One broadcast, as we do every year, of Super Bowl 58 coming up on Sunday. Our pregame begins at 1 o'clock, 5:30 kickoff here in Vegas. Mike Golic will be roving the sidelines, along with Kevin Harlan and Kurt Warner, roving the sidelines. What does that mean, Mike?
Well, it's interesting. The pro on the sideline is Laura Oakman. She is the one who knows what the hell she's doing down there. So, yeah, Kurt and Warner and Kevin Harlan will be up in the booth. And I'll be the, God rest his soul, Tony Saragossa on the sideline, where I'll be a game analyst, but on the field. So I'll give that perspective down there. This would be my 26th or 27th Super Bowl, but I always went home. I never wanted to stay for the game if I wasn't working it. I watched it on the couch, watched all the commercials. But Westwood One has given me a great opportunity to work it and be on the sideline and be down there amongst the players and analyze. So it's been very, very cool.
All right. Analyze then.
Yeah.
Analyze the game for us. What do you think?
Well, I think there's going to be a defensive game. Okay. I mean, I think Kansas City's year, especially in the playoffs, if you look at what Tampa Bay did when Brady won the Super Bowl for them, they never would have got to the Super Bowl had the defense not played great, especially in the postseason. And that's what Kansas City's defense did, especially against Baltimore. Kansas City, we talked about their offense basically struggling a lot this year. You had Kelce, who was nicked a bit. You were waiting for a receiver to step up, turned out to be a rookie in Rashee Rice, and you had led the league in drop passes. So, I mean, they struggled, but that defense kept them afloat. And while the 49ers from top to bottom most likely have the better roster, Kansas City, you always say, well, they've got Pat Mahomes. But this year you add that defense in. You definitely do.
Well, last year, I mean, I kind of said the same thing. I thought the Eagles had the better team.
Right.
But the Chiefs had the best player.
They did. I mean, look at the Eagles up 10 at halftime.
I picked Kansas City to win the game.
Yeah.
And I kind of think that to be the case this year. Niners better team, Mahomes the better player.
Yep.
What do you think?
We're going to find out. I obviously can't pick a winner. Being on the sidelines, that would not be very professional of me, so I won't do that. But the way you lay it out is right. I think San Francisco, and that's why they're favored in this game. I think, like I said, top to bottom may have the deeper team. But, I mean, Pat's been here. Pat's done that. I mean, it's tough to go against him, but – like I said, the added element is that defense led by Chris Jones.
He is from our town, so we watched this kid grow up. And I knew he was – I mean, I could tell he was a great athlete watching him play baseball when he was 12 years old. But who knew this? I mean, is he something – and I've asked just about everybody – is he something the league has not seen before?
Well, I mean, until the next one comes along that okay, we haven't seen, right? I mean, Lamar Jackson's going to be a two-time MVP, you know, at a young age. We haven't seen a quarterback move like that since Michael Vick, and before that, my old teammate Randall Cunningham. But Pat's also putting the passing together, makes these trick shot plays, which are unbelievable. I remember I've been fortunate to be very good friends with Andy Reid for years. And I remember when they took him, and I went, and Alex Smith was the quarterback, and I had been talking about how they're going to go that next year, they're going to go to Pat Mahomes. And I was like, wow, Alex is playing well, though. You're going to go to this rookie. You know, we haven't seen him yet. And Andy texts me and he said, Mike, I'm telling you, Mahomes is a real deal. You got to see him in practice. And that's what we don't get to see. We don't get to see the development in the classroom, you know, on the whiteboard, on the practice field. And Andy said, he is something special. Wait till you see him. And he was right.
The game, when it comes to Brock Purdy, that game manager thing drives me crazy. Aren't all quarterbacks supposed to be game managers?
There are two things in the NFL that are like the F word, game manager and analytics.
Okay.
Analytics should just be relabeled information. There were analytics when I played. We got game plans that told me when a team is third and seven plus what formation they like, what plays they like. That's all analytics. That's all in, but it's information. Take the information, digest it, and then make your decision. Game manager, yes, they're absolutely game managers who have the potential to change the game. I know Cam Newton, everybody's been making a lot about Cam Newton, saying he's not the 10th best player on the team. You can list a lot of players on that team that are better than him from a positional standpoint, and that's kudos to John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan for putting that team together. But when Cam said he can't be a game changer if you're not one of the best players, I disagree there. He touches the ball every play. He has the ability to change the game with his arm. The game against Green Bay, they had to come back against Green Bay, had to come back against Detroit. Green Bay makes a critical third down completion to Juwan Jennings over the middle of the field. He did that. He has the ability to make a throw that can change a game. I talked to Richard Sherman a couple weeks ago, and he was like, it's amazing. America loves an underdog story except for Brock Purdy. It's like, here is this guy, seventh rounder, Mr. Irrelevant, and nobody wants to give him the benefit of the doubt. It's a joke. The guy's doing a hell of a job. He statistically had a better year than Mahomes. I mean, yes. But it's like, oh, but he's got all this talent. So what? There's the intricacies of this. He while he led the league in passing yards down the field, he was also one of the most accurate. And this team always leads in yards after the catch. You have to understand, when you throw a swing pass, you got to put it right on the money. You throw a swing pass to Christian McCaffrey and throw it behind him, now he's turning, he's not getting yards after the catch. You throw a slant to Deebo Samuel, if you don't hit him in stride, you throw it lower behind, he's not getting yards after the catch. Brock's doing that. He's doing all the things he needs to do to be a top quarterback.
All right, we're a Texas radio station, so speaking of game managers, is Dak Prescott a game manager? He's starting to catch a lot of grief right now.
He is, but again, he's made plays with his legs or his arm that have changed games, but not enough for, A, this team to win get to the Super Bowl. But here's the other thing. I hate wins and losses getting put on quarterbacks. I hate we rank quarterbacks by Super Bowl rings. And how'd the defense play when they lost in the Super Bowl?
Not well.
They stunk. They'd be the first to admit it. And this was a really good defense during the year. So we're all going to want to put it on Dak. Everybody wants to put it on Dak, but there's a lot of other people out on the field. Is Dak ever going to get them there? Well, I mean, again, is that team ever going to get there all together? You went away from the two-headed monster in Zeke Elliott and Tony Pollard. Didn't really work as well as you'd like it to, okay? And the O-line was actually pretty healthy this year. Defense started out and was playing really great. Laid an egg in the playoffs. So there's some of that you can't put on Dak.
So in some ways you're saying they need to keep on keeping on, and then on the other hand, some fundamental changes need to be made? What do you think?
Every team has to make changes every year. And that was – I thought Mike McCarthy was going to be gone. After week 18, Jerry Jones gets in front of a microphone and says – and somebody's asked, what about the future of Mike McCarthy? And he said, we'll take each game, postseason game, game by game, and decide. They got smoked in – I called that game. They got smoked in that game. I thought, well, if he just said that a week ago, 6 days ago, Mike's going to be gone. But decided to keep, you know, the continuity there. Because we also have to remember, you change a head coach, you're changing coordinators, and you're changing position coaches. You're bringing in a new coach who's bringing in a new system, offensively, defensively, position coaches who change their techniques as well. So there's a whole lot of change that goes on. So if you have a team that's close, sometimes it's better to say, you know what, let's stick what we got, let's try and get over the hump.
We're talking to Mike Golic, who'll be calling Super Bowl 58 on Westwood One for us coming up on Sunday on the national broadcast. Are you surprised we're finally in Las Vegas for this game?
I think everybody's surprised, and I think it's a long time coming. The NFL is the most popular sport in the country, makes the most money of all the pro sports, and is, if it's a word, is basically unbreakable as far as we've seen some of the bad things that have gone on in the NFL, from the political side to the social side to off the field. And this league doesn't get broken. It may get dented a little bit, but it doesn't get broken. They're the leaders. So, and a lot of times, they're last to the party on things because they don't have to be first because they're the best, right? So think of it, how many years ago Tony Romo couldn't do a fantasy football draft in a convention center, not even in a casino here in Las Vegas. And let's also be honest, what changes it? Owners, you're not a billionaire because you're not making moves that make you money. And all these billionaire owners have their meetings, and when they find out, wait a minute, you're saying that if we jump into this gambling world, the money we can make begins with a B, not an M.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, yeah. I said, all right, why don't we find out a way to be able to work through this and do it? Las Vegas is a great sports city. I got so aggravated with people in my industry when the Raiders were going to come here, and they said, oh, God, all hell is going to break loose. I'm like, why? I said, there are hundreds of thousands of people that work in Las Vegas that aren't gambling degenerates. They just do their job. I said, the Raider players are going to come here. They're going to do their job. They're going to play. And now you got the Raiders, the Golden Knights, the Aces. You're going to have a baseball team here in the A's, probably an NBA team at some point. It's a great sports town that can put on a big event like this.
But the fear was always the integrity of the game.
Yes.
How hard would it be to fix a football game, to get to the players, for the gamblers to get to the guys and fix a game?
Who are you getting to? You got to get to Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes is making $500 million. Quarterbacks are making $40 and $50 million. How you getting to him? I mean, the guys you have to get to are so well paid. What's, you know, you get into a referee? I mean, we've seen that in basketball. Listen, I'm not naive enough to sit here and say that it can't be done, but why does a team have to be in Vegas for it to be done? You know, gambling happens in Iowa. Go look at the Iowa colleges and what's happening there with some of the ball players who are getting suspended for gambling. Gambling is everywhere. You don't have to be in Vegas to try and get to a player or a ref.
You are. I'll end it. I kind of wind it down with this. Mike Golick is with us. You are a Notre Dame Fighting Irish.
Yes.
Your whole family are Fighting Irish. They are a big brand in college athletics. And, boy, to say the least, college athletics has changed.
Yes.
Notre Dame, any of these schools, navigating the transfer portal and NIL, what's it going to look like 5 years from now, in your opinion?
Well, I mean, I think a lot of it depends on what card rails they put in place. Right now, there are really none.
There's none.
Now, I mean, college athletes have more freedom than NFL players do. Every year, they're a free agent, and they can go somewhere else and make more money.
With no salary cap.
With no salary cap. So there has to be some guard. Right now, the NCAA picks their spots. Latest is Tennessee on enticing an 18-year-old. You can pay the players you have, but don't entice an 18-year-old to come to your school by giving them money. And they pick their spots on. The NCAA is a joke right now. So what happens? Who is going to decide what happens? Is it going to be the Big Ten and the SEC trying to make some rules? Is it going to be the government in each state or federal government that's going to make some rules? Are the players going to unionize, and are they going to become employees? Then someone's got to run the union. There's a pyramid of things that can happen, but I don't know what's going to happen first that's going to start to corral any of this.
You were born 40. I'm looking at your age. You were born 40 years too early, weren't you?
Oh, man, let me tell you. How great would it be?
How about Mike Golick as a Notre Dame young lineman at Notre Dame?
I'd be sponsoring anything out there. and then my senior year, I'd be picking a beer that I would sponsor. Be awesome. Yeah, I mean, listen, and I'm happy for the players. Get it, man. If they're letting you do it, do it. If you want to transfer and go somewhere else, you got 4 to 5 years, now that we're through the COVID thing, you got 4 to 5 years to make your mark to get seen at the next level. If you want to move a couple of times, go ahead. Maybe the wrong move for you, but you have the choice.
Last but not least, how much fun is it to broadcast a football game, the Super Bowl game? We've done a lot of football games
awesome.
In our day, but to broadcast the Super Bowl on radio.
And to be on the field, I've seen The Rock down there a couple of years ago. I've known for a little bit and talked to him. We got on the field this year, Post Malone doing God Bless America. I hope to see if Kansas City wins. Who knows if I get a run-in with Taylor Swift, right? I got to see Eminem and Snoop and Jay-Z's halftime show. So it's pretty cool being down there on the sideline.